This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
On the Space Show, we try to commemorate space anniversaries as close as possible to the actual date. Last month, on March the 2nd, we did not mark the 20th anniversary of the launch of the European Space Agency's Rosetta Comet mission, not because we had forgotten it, but because we were committed to noting a significant new development in the Square Kilometre Array and a long report on the Chinese lunar program. This evening, we make amends. We begin with a 5-minute composition by Greek musician Vangelis, and it is called Rosetta.
Thank you.
composed by Vangelis especially for the Rosetta mission. That was quite simply Rosetta. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, we use vox pops, poetry and music to follow the European Space Agency's Rosetta mission to comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko.
Hi, I am Renske van den Berg, 41 years old. I am a science enthusiastic journalist. Rosetta and Philae are such brave adventurers, and this was carried out so well to the public. The two brave explorers gave me the last push for a career change. I used to be a court reporter for 18 years. Now I got the job at SRON, Netherlands Institute for Space Research. Working at communications, I am inspired to tell the public all about beautiful and exciting science.
Comet 67P was discovered in 1969 by Ukrainian-born astronomers Klim Churyumov and Svetlana Gerasimenko. The 67P means it was the 67th periodic comet discovered. Not the 67th comet, but the 67th one that orbits sufficiently close to the Sun that it periodically approaches the Sun. The first periodic comet to be identified as such was Comet 1P, the famous Halley's Comet. Most comets only appear once in the inner solar system to either vaporize in the Sun or return to the far reaches of our solar system. Comet 67P was named Churyumov-Gerasimenko after its discoverers. After many years of planning, the European Space Agency launched a craft called Rosetta on 2004, March the 2nd. The launch vehicle was an Ariane 5 G Plus from the Guiana Space Center in South America. Europe's most powerful rocket did not have enough energy to propel Rosetta directly to the comet. Instead, it had to take a 10-year circuitous route, stealing energy from four planetary passes or gravitational assists. The first assist came 1 year after launch when Rosetta passed less than 2,000 kilometres above the Earth. This slung the craft out to Mars, which it flew past at a distance of 250 kilometres on 2007 February the 25th. Despite having spent 2 years rising from Earth to Mars, Rosetta was slung back to Earth in only 9 months. On this Earth flyby, Rosetta gained enough energy to enter the asteroid belt, which lies between Mars and Jupiter. On 2008, September the 5th, Rosetta flew past asteroid Steins at a distance of 800 kilometres and a speed of 31,000 kilometres per hour, taking images and collecting data. In December of 2008, as Rosetta fell out of the asteroid belt towards Earth, United Kingdom poet Stuart Atkinson wrote the first of what was to become an extensive series of poems about Rosetta's travels. In this first poem, he recalls Rosetta's flypasts of Earth and Mars. And, by the way, Barsoom is the fictional name that writer Edgar Rice Burroughs gave to Mars. And the highest volcano on Mars is Mount Olympus.
Fly Past by Stuart Atkinson, posted on 2008 December 7th. Two worlds of eye-widening wonder my cameras have now seen. One green and blue, poles, newly dusted fresh cream white, the other a rusted, dusty place, its ancient time-worn weary face pitted with craters, one for every star that shines in its frigid, rose-tinged sky. Barsoom loomed before me first, its ochre-coated globe rolling past in sullen silence as I flashed by, spying on its rock-strewn plains of gold and yawning canyons grand. Mars shifting cinnamon sands shone lantern bright in the endless empty night that has become my life, and through my outstretched solar wings I caught a fleeting glimpse of proud Olympus, a cloudy scarf of cirrus wrapped around its lofty peak. Months of dreamless sleep then. Mars a delicious, distant memory, leaving me to search the sea of dark for a single sapphire spark lost in Sol's fierce glare. Then there she was, a sickle blade of blue, a wicked side of living light so bright against the black. No turning back now, Earth's crescent suddenly huge before me with the lights of her sleeping towns and cities glittering on her lovely face, sequins glinting on an ebony cloak as I raced past, faster than the meteors that dashed themselves against her warming atmosphere as I speared on my way, saying goodbye to the blue skies of Earth and, closing my tired eyes, fell into that deep sleep again.
Rosetta's third and final flyby of Earth came on 2009, November the 12th, at a distance of 2,500 kilometres. At last, the three-ton craft had enough energy to meet the target comet. But not directly there. The solar-powered craft would need to travel once again through the asteroid belt. On 2010, July the 10th, Rosetta flew past the asteroid Lutetia at a distance of 3,200 kilometres. The phenomenal speed of 54,000 kilometres per hour did not prevent Rosetta from taking clear images of this rocky inhabitant of the asteroid belt. Once again, Stuart Atkinson put pen to paper, or should we say, fingers to keyboard, to commemorate the event. And by the way, Phobos is a moon of Mars that is thought to be a captured asteroid.
Lutetia in the Light by Stuart Atkinson, posted on 2010 July 12th. For all these years you were merely a smear of light through our telescopes on the clearest, coldest night, a hint of a glint, just a few pixels wide on even your most perfectly framed portraits. But now we see you. Swimming out of the dark, a great stone shark, your star-tanned skin pitted and pocked, scarred after eons of drifting silently through the endless ocean of space. Here on Earth our faces lit up as we saw you clearly for the first time. Eyes wide with wonder we traced the strangely familiar grooves raked across your sides, wondering if Rosetta had doubled back to Mars and raced past Phobos by mistake. Then you were gone, falling back into the black, not to be seen by human eyes again for a thousand blue moons or more. But we know you now, we know you. You'll never be just a speck of light again.
After Lutetia, the solar-powered Rosetta was going to go out to the distance of Jupiter from the Sun. Way out there, the sunlight is so dim that not even Rosetta's 64 square metres of solar panels could collect enough energy to keep the craft awake. So their cameras, instruments and radio transmitters were turned off. The craft was put into hibernation, with only an electronic clock running to tell it when to wake up. 3.5 years later, as the expected wake-up date of 2014, January the 20th, approached, the European Space Agency ran a publicity campaign. Would Rosetta have survived the cold Jovian distances? Even singer Tasman Archer of Sleeping Satellite fame got into the spirit of things.
Rosetta, now it's time to rise. It's your time to shine and come back to life. So wake up, sleeping satellite. Wake up, Rosetta.
I like that. I think we'll play it again.
Rosetta, now it's time to rise. It's your time to shine and come back to life. So wake up, sleeping satellite. Wake up, Rosetta.
And now here's an instrumental piece called Rosetta, Our Sleeping Beauty, and it's by a musician called Riz. Stuart Atkinson was caught up in the excitement and 4 days later wrote Rosetta Wakes. As often happens, Stuart works Mars into this poem with mention of Barsoom and Ares, the Roman name for Mars.
Rosetta Wakes by Stuart Atkinson, posted on 2014, January 24th. And then, suddenly, a candle flame of consciousness quivers in the darkness and Rosetta is awake. At the start, the pulse of her electronic heart barely a flutter, but enough to rouse her from her drowsy sleep and pull her out of her dreams. Slowly, slowly, memories return. The rust-encrusted globe of Mars burning up ahead, Barsoom looming like a bloated red giant star before she swooped over its pole, Osiris' single eye briefly catching sight of timeless clouds and craters through gaps in the great solar arrays before Ares fell behind, never to be seen again. Lutetia, old, cold and grey, swimming up out from the depths of space like a lone, stone shark before sinking back into the dark. Earth gleaming a million different hues of emerald green and sapphire blue, its disk shrinking to a fingernail-clipping thin crescent so beautiful it would have reduced any window-crowding crew to tears. All that is behind her now. Darkness crowds in on all sides as she rubs the sleep from her eyes, feeling the solar wind whispering o'er her wings, stretching and yawning, hearing her comet and destiny calling.
This is The Space Show.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
In the months following its January wake-up, Rosetta's orbit brought it ever closer to Comet 67P. The cameras revealed greater detail than Earth-based telescopes ever could. One was that the comet is a double or binary body shaped somewhat like a duck.
Hi, my name is Aga. I live in a small town in Poland. I'm honored to tell you how the Rosetta mission influenced my life. I've been in love with astronomy for 14 years. But all my life I've been told that I won't become a scientist. The main reason was Europe is not United States. And you know what? I've learned about the Rosetta mission, about scientist dedication. I've learned it's worth trying, worth fighting for. So I've started physics studies, because I want to be scientist like them. If it's possible to land a probe on a comet dashing through space, everything is possible.
On 2014 May 7, 10 years ago next month, the European Space Agency declared that the Rosetta had arrived. Sure, it was more than 100 kilometres away, but mission controllers had to keep an eye out for hazardous objects that might be coming off 67P. By August the 6th, the controllers had enough confidence to move Rosetta close enough to be captured by the comet's weak gravity into orbit. 3 weeks later, Stuart Atkinson issued this.
67P by Stuart Atkinson, posted on 2014 August 27th. We always thought of your kind as icily beautiful. Pale princesses wistfully wandering the heavens, long veils flowing behind you as you smiled down at the bewitched mortals sighing far, far below. Or you were ghost ships, silently sailing through the stars, blown on the solar winds, sighing softly as you passed Earth for the thousandth time since you first tacked in towards the sun. But while some of you grew to greatness, unfurling bright, twisted ribbon tails across the lavender twilight, fluttering like pennants flying from Camelot's tallest towers, most of you were never seen by eye alone. Even gazing at you through telescopes only ever showed you as out-of-focus stars, a gritty chalk dust speck rubbed with a fingertip onto the blackboard of the sky. But now, with your concealing veil pulled away by Rosetta, you are revealed. We see you as you really are. You are a bizarre, gnarled, chewed on thing. Two twisted, ancient masses of ice and dust, thrust together who knows how many millennia ago, a scarred neck left connecting your cratered lobes. Princess, no. More a coal-black Quasimodo, hunchbacked after merciless torture on time's rack left you mutated, misshapen, like some nightmarish creation Dali and Geiger drew on a beer mat as they sat, drunk, in the corner of heaven's gloomiest bar, now spinning slowly, slowly in the great dark. Looking at your pixelated portrait, I wonder, how can anything which shines so beautifully in the sky be so ugly? How can such a black, maggot-gnawed apple core grow such a glorious tail? How can something like that hypnotize even the most tired and weary-eyed stargazers? But if I look closely, there is a barren beauty about you, in the way shark-tooth shadows are cast behind your twisted towers and spires of filthy ice, in the way eons of dust, gray as cremation ash spilling from a loved one's shattered urn, has buried your craters, smothering them until only ghostly smoke rings remain. Soon you will awake. As the nearing sun's warmth begins to bake you, comet quakes will shake boulders from your crumbling cliffs, sending stones bouncing and rolling down your snowy slopes, plowing furrows through the dust for Osiris, eagle eyes to harvest from above, and then, finally, after centuries of wondering what you are, After 10,000 lifetimes of fearing your fleeting appearances in our skies, we will look straight into your eyes and know you. With your glacial breath on our faces, we will stare into your ancient soul and know you. Comet, plague carrier, harbinger of doom, destroyer of empires, murderer of kings and queens, no, no more. Now we know you as an icy orca, prowling the deep sea between souls' worlds, surfacing briefly to sing and shine before diving down into the cold, ebony dark halfway to the nearest star to sleep, and dream of thawing, golden sunbeams once more.
The following months, Frank Russell, like many of us, began seeing Comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko as Rosetta's Comet.
Rosetta's Comet, by Frank Russell, written during 2014 September. Stripped of concealing luminous wrap and glorious elongated tail, what a bizarre visitor you are! Highly disfigured in shape and as blemished as our moon, you are nonetheless a local resident with a niche in the system and possibly harboring a key to understanding the phenomenon of life on Earth. Thus, by cosmic equity, you are further proof that even the most unpretentious may become the pivotal center of attention.
By now, Rosetta's cameras had revealed enough about this comet that Stuart Atkinson was able to imagine what it might be like to be on this double-lobed ice ball that is about 4.3 kilometres long and 4.1 kilometres wide.
On the Comet by Stuart Atkinson, posted on 2014 September 22nd. Imagine exploring here, bouncing across these dusty plains, your soot-stained boots crumping down again and again as you worked your way, round boulders big as barns, leaping off ledges, hopping off outcrops, your footprints a space-age Oregon Trail leading back to where you landed your fragile craft, invisible from where you stand, half hidden behind countless hoarfrost-coated hills. Imagine standing in the shadow of a shark-tooth spire, blocking out the blazing, molten silver fire of the sun, feeling the ground rumbling beneath your feet as the sun's growing heat thaws the comet's frozen soul, sending house-sized boulders rolling in slow motion down charcoal-coated slopes, mosquito clouds of dust pushing ahead of them as they silently slide, slide, slide to a halt beneath the ebony sky. Imagine walking through this land of standing stones, where the far horizon, with its coal-black Matterhorns of snow, is so near you feel you could reach out and touch it but daren't, lest dragon claw thorns of ancient ice sliced through the fabric of your glove, flash freezing your hand before you even had time to realize what you had lost, before you could look down and scream at the sight of your fingers crystallizing into glittering popsicles of mulled wine blood. Imagine standing here, gazing up at the sky, at a fragile metal butterfly passing overhead, seeing a tiny, shining spark spin away, dropping down towards you. Little filly, falling, falling, destiny and her place in history calling.
Attached to the side of the 3-ton Rosetta was a 100-kilogram lander. Rosetta was named after the famous Rosetta Stone that proved to be the key to unlocking ancient hieroglyphics to modern scholars. Natural, then, to call the landing probe Philae. The idea was that Philae would be detached from Rosetta, drift down to the comet and attach itself to the icy surface. On 2014 November the 12th, Philae touched down on a carefully chosen safe area at 3.6 kilometers per hour. Unfortunately, the anchoring harpoons failed to fire and Philae bounced, drifted across the comet, bounced again, then settled into a shady crevice at an unknown location. starved of sunlight, Philae's battery lasted 2 days before they were exhausted. Stuart Atkinson was one of billions of people around the globe who mourned Philae's fate.
Philae Dreams by Stuart Atkinson, posted on 2014 November 16th. Dwarfed beneath sun-smothering cliffs, draped in shadows foul and thick as squid ink, pressed on all sides by ice hard as iron, Philae now sleeps, dreaming of a lost Egilkian sky afire with Van Gogh stars, thick as pollen blown on a summer's breeze, a heaven strewn with a million gems and jewels, and drifting slowly through them, Venus bright Rosetta, a lantern glowing in the Stygian night, swooping around the comet like an eagle on outstretched silicon wings. This is not where I should have been, Philae whispers in the dark, trapped in its Alcatraz cell of tar-black ice. They told me I would see wonders when I fell out of the sky, glittering jets of gas and dust spraying high, a sea of rocks and boulders stretching away on all sides to a too near horizon where the fossilized towers of fairy tale castles reached up to touch the Milky Way. They lied. But I saw a Egilkir, I saw it. Philae rages in its sleep, rushing up towards me, a flat, dusty plain, a promised land perfect for my needs. Why did it reject me? Why push me away, banishing me to this wretched place? Why bury me in this frigid, dusty tomb where El Capitan cliffs loom, so dark the smallest candle flame would be blinding? I should be bathing in beauty, Philae sighs, not exiled in this cometary quarry, this cruel and melancholy wasteland. I should have lived out my mayfly days in the sun, feeling its golden rays kissing my face as I gazed at snowflake fountains airbrushing the sky, not cowering in this charcoal-walled cave chosen by fate to be my grave. One day I will wake, Philae promises itself, its on standby heart briefly fluttering like a bird at the thought of it. And when I peer out from this suddenly sun-drenched hole, oh, they'll see what I can do.
Let's move on. In order to send Philae on its way and to search for the errant lander, Rosetta had been moved dangerously close to Comet 67P. With hope lost to finding Philae's hidey hole, mission controllers commanded Rosetta to back away.
Looking Back by Stuart Atkinson, posted on 2014 November 23rd. Having abandoned Philae to its fate, Rosetta moves away, impatient to see the comet in all its charred charcoal glory once again. Tumbling through the dark, a misshapen hole cut out of the stars until the sun's phosphorus spark bursts over its pole, bathing its peaks in a brutal light which sweeps across its landscape like a tide. Craters, cliffs and dusty plains, emerging one by one again from beneath the black waves of the void's eternal night. Looking at it hanging there in space, its ragged face rolling slowly in and out of view, no one could call this hunchbacked Quasimodo comet beautiful. Except, perhaps, the geologists, leering at their OSIRIS centerfolds of its lobes with undisguised lust, imagining running their hands over its dusty body in the dark, trembling fingertips tracing the outlines of each and every rock and stone, wishing they had seen it long ago, when it was still young, seduced by the sun for the first time, shaking out its silvery tresses as it swept gracefully around the star. So old now, so old, a withered crone of ice and stone, slowly falling apart.
Both Klim Churyumov and Svetlana Gerasimenko were at the Guiana Space Center in French Guiana to witness the launch of Rosetta. A decade later, both were at Mission Control in Darmstadt, Germany for the Philae landing event. Here is Svetlana speaking through a translator.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now kept a lady waiting, of course, because the second name is Mrs. Svetlana Ivanova Gerasimenko, and she will join us now, not here on stage, but she's in the Lander Control Center in Cologne, standing by already. There she is with her interpreter. Welcome, Mrs. Gerasimenko. It's a great pleasure, great honor to have you here as well. So you're the co-discoverer of the comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko, and you discovered it 45 years ago. We were just told by Mr. Churyumov. Perhaps you can tell us a bit how you recall that moment of discovery, and if you knew at the time that you actually discovered something totally new.
Вы нашли комету, и когда какое у вас было чувство, и в это время вы знали, если это был новый объект или нет? Какие были у вас чувства, когда вы этот комету открыли?
Все растерялись. Сразу растерялись, а потом обрадовались.
So at first we didn't know what to do. We were a little bit startled and taken aback at our discovery. But then, of course, straight away after that, we're extremely happy.
Very concise and succinct answer. Thank you very much for this one. Let me get as succinct as well. Has this discovery changed your life or your career or both?
Как это открытие поменяло вашу жизнь или вашу карьеру, или оба?
Нет, это открытие не поменяло ни мою жизнь, ни мою карьеру, потому что кометами я начала заниматься до того, как стала их наблюдать.
This hasn't really changed my life or my career so much, because I've always been interested in comets, and as such, that's why I went into this field of study in the first place.
Then I have one last question. Now, since August, we know what this comet looks like. Do you like it?
С августа мы знаем форму кометы вашей. Вопрос такой, вам форма эта нравится или нет?
Ой, мне очень форма нравится. Напоминает женский сапожок.
I like the form very, very much. It reminds me of a boot.
Okay.
I like it very much, yes.
If she likes it, whatever it reminds her of, that's good enough for me. Thank you, Mrs. Gerasimenko, and thank you for discovering this comet together with your colleague in crime, Mr. Churyumov.
This is the Space Show, celebrating the mission of the Rosetta Comet Study.
88.3 Southern FM.
Where you are listening to the Space Show. Now, it's not often that astronomers have music written about them, but Klim and Svetlana were so honoured by Belgian musician Sten Huels, who goes by the pseudonym Disquiet. Now, here's a part of his three-string piece for Klim and Svetlana. I don't hear the strings there, at least not the strings I was expecting. Now, let's hear from Klim Churyumov, again at the Philae landing event.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we keep talking about a comet that we're about to land on, which has, for many of us, a quite complicated name, Churyumov-Gerasimenko. I, for one, was struggling with this for a long time. I can say it now without looking onto a piece of paper, but nevertheless. And maybe you were wondering, where are these names coming from? Well, there were two scientists who named the comet, basically, after they discovered it. And one of them is standing right next to me, Klim Ivanovich Churyumov. So you are the first part of that comet in name. You're one of the discoverers. It's really good to have you here with us today. How do you feel today, knowing that we come and land on your comet?
Dear colleagues and friends, how are you? This day is a great day in cometary science and general science, and also in history of human civilization. This comet now all saw its nucleus, and as Rosetta made maneuver, and it is, I think, it is triumph celestial mechanics. It is a unical, non-precedented experiment in the history science. I discovered the comet 45 years ago. It was so. In 1969, Kiev University sent expedition, astronomical expedition, to Almaty. And we, together with Svetlana Gerasimenko, I was leading of expedition. Svetlana Gerasimenko was a postgraduate student. Our teacher was famous astronomer, Professor Siksvyatsky, and UNESCO 2005 years. It was Siksvyatsky years. Siksvyatsky, my and Svetlana Gerasimenko teacher. When we went to Almaty, we with help highlight telescope, meniscus Maksutov telescope, we observed several comets which belonging to Jupiter family. It is comet Phi, Kondam Rogospet Ushakova, and other, and comet Sola. We observed this comet. When we observed comet Sola, we, with help of a photographic way, we photographed the comet comet Sola and made several plays. And on five planets where was comet comet Sola, we found out new object. But
so it was by chance.
Yeah, but five position, exact position, equatorial coordinates, we sent to Central Bureau of Astronomical Research to Professor Marsden. Five position, it is enough to determine exact orbit. And the comet was found out through 1 month after our observation. Mm-hmm. And Marsden confirmed that it's a new comet, and as we discovered, comet was named Churyumov-Gerasimenko, and in catalog, astronomical catalog, it has number 67P.
67P,
yes.
That's easier for everyone, but we don't make it easy for us, Mr. Churyumov. We will talk to the counterpart, Mrs. Gerasimenko, in just a moment. But I have one more question, because you're so experienced and there is a comet named after you. Can you tell us, please, why do you think that space science, astronomy, is important to society?
Astronomy, it is the most important science for human civilization. Because astronomy give calendar, time, exact orientation in cosmos, in space, and in ocean. And in future, when not enough oil, water, and, not enough.
When we run out of resources.
Not enough, this matter, this substance. And we will use a space object, asteroid, comet, moon, and give this mineral, this substances from celestial, from space objects. And comet will be play very important role just to save humanity from not enough mineral.
Yeah.
Aura.
Oh. So eventually it could one day save humanity and human life on Earth. So Mr. Klim Churyumov, thank you so much for being here today. And we hope we will land on your comet. We do. Thank you very much. Be careful.
As comet 67P's orbit around the Sun brought it closer to the Sun, the solar heating made the comet more active. So active that at times Rosetta had to move 100 or more kilometres away to avoid dust and ice flaking off the comet. On 2015, August the 13th, 67P reached perihelion, or closest point to the Sun. And still the poems kept on being written.
67P CG. Two oblong lobes of rough ice methane, and ammonia, fallen far below the Kuiper Belt, perturbed by Jupiter into nearer perihelion, where they warm, the coma sublimes, the tail blurs. A trim probe relays images from the twilight surface as gray and vacant as sleep. This small craft, a little boat, a dim soul in an afterlife, in attenuate gravity, in stifling quiet, in the Tuat, to be weighed against the truth, Thoth and Anubis at the scales.
Not long after Philae landed on comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko, Terry O'Leary wrote three comedic poems called simply The Probe, The Probe 2, and The Probe 3.
The Probe by Terry O'Leary, written during 2014 November. We've landed a probe on a comet and found it was made of green vomit. Well, creatures within it decided to thin it, serve probe a pea soup, then embalm it. The Probe 2 by Terry O'Leary, posted 2014. The scientists flung the Rosetta, like spinning a ball in roulette. The nerds were annoyed when their progeny buoyed. All was saved with a back turbojetta settling down on an icy asteroid, which was neither oblong nor spheroid. They said, "Philae be grounded." Instead she rebounded and almost was lost in the void. With war games and money misdealt, the project was left needing gelt. And cells lacking power sent nerds to the shower while watching the meteor melt. The Probe 3 by Terry O'Leary. Cast a glance to the comet up high with a name sounding awkward and dry. In the stellar marquee it's marked 67P, and a motion that's hard to describe. As the comet continues to fly, caught in gravity none can defy. Yes, it traces ellipses through solar eclipses. We ask, does dark matter comply? So, we sent the Rosetta to pry, and I can't help but wondering why, once in orbit, we spun it so close to the sun, it is likely to sizzle and fry. But before, we may soon verify that the comet's a custard cream pie made of green cheddar cheese, like the moon, if you please, though that's gospel the savants deny. When receivers no longer reply, at the end of their solar supply, we won't seek to debug 'em. Instead we'll unplug 'em and turn off our spy in the sky. If it's certain Rosetta will die then, oh lordy, I surely will cry if we land it like Philae behind the sun, shyly, before I can whisper goodbye.
One of the discoveries of the Rosetta and Philae missions was that Comet 67P does not have a magnetic field. However, it was found that the magnetic field of the solar wind interacting with the comet oscillates at between 40 and 50 millihertz. Now, we can't hear that frequency, but German composer and sound designer Manuel Senift created an artistic rendition of the measured data to make the oscillation audible. Stuart Atkinson wrote his farewell to the unlucky probe Philae.
Farewell, Philae, for now, by Stuart Atkinson, posted 2016. Beneath sheets of sparkling frost, lost Philae sleeps now, and will doze until, one day, who knows when, men and women from Earth, their boots crusted with clods of soot-black comet dust and snow, will crump slowly across 67-piece frozen plains and see it, a glint of gold in a shadow, high up on a crumbling cliff's side, shining like a wolf's eye. And then the Fellowship of Philae will hike up Seth's serrated cliffs until, high above Happy's sands, they'll reach out with shaking hands and drag it from its icy tomb into the light, setting it upright again, brushing years of ice and dust from its face before taking it to its final resting place, a glass case at ESOC, spotlights warming it, thawing a century of frostbite. But for now, Philae sleeps, without Rosetta's alarm clock beep 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 interrupting its dreams of what might have been, if only those hapless harpoons had fired. If only it hadn't bounced like a rubber ball. If only it hadn't fallen into that dark place, landing, legs splayed, in a lonely hole hidden from the sun's precious rays.
Stuart Atkinson. And on next week's The Space Show, we will continue the story of Philae and its Rosetta mastercraft. You have been listening to The Space Show. I'm Andrew Rennie. Space Show's on air on Wednesdays from 7 till 8.